Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the place to be if you are a sci-fi or fantasy reader. My name is Laura and I am your host. I am a reader, a writer, and a whiskey drinker, and I'm here to share with you the person behind the page, the author. And today's featured author is A.E. Kincaid. She is the author of The Demon, the Hero, and the City of Seven. This book, you guys, I absolutely loved it. I read it so fast, but before we dive into that, let me tell you a little bit about Amy. By day, A.E. Kincaid is the creative director at a branding studio in Iowa. By night, she writes humorous fantasy novels. The Demon, the Hero, and the City of Seven is her first published novel. And that is the book that we're going to be talking about today. But not only did I have the first book in my hands, you guys, I also had the second book. We'll talk about it in the interview. But let's dive in. Let me tell you what this first book is all about. What happens when good and evil collide? They yell, ouch! When you're a demon who's been magically connected to a human for eternity, life is bound to be annoying. But when that human is also an inept hero who tosses his lunch whenever he gets stressed out, breaking the connection becomes priority one. Plus, there's a mystery at the heart of their bond that needs unraveling. When the magical object that bound them broke, it weakened the barrier between Windershins and the underworld. The duo hopes to find a wizard in the City of Seven who will be able to help them with both of their problems. Follow along as our demon, Lord Malvian, and our hero, Sir Reginald, make themselves unwelcome with fairies, humans, dwarves, and giants, all while racing to get to the City of Seven before Mal's supremely evil brother. This story was so fun, so intriguing, definitely like the best type of friendship story that I have read in a really long time. So let's dive into this interview because you do not want to miss it. Hello, welcome to Read It With Whiskey. Amy, I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I am so excited to be here, Laura. Thank you so much.
We're going to have a great time today because we're talking about your book, The Demon, the Hero, and the City of Seven. I crushed this book so fast. Such a fast-paced read. I fell in love. But before we dive into that, I would like for you to tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you began your writing career.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure I actually know because I've heard some of these interviews. Everyone's saying like, oh, elementary school. Yeah, I mean, I wrote my first short story in elementary school, The Haunted Ski Lift. Yeah, it's really, it was deep stuff.
Wow.
but in a more professional sense, my day job is a lot of writing. It's just nonfiction writing. And then I started really seriously writing in 2019.
Okay. So then since 2019, I mean, you've written this book. You also mm-hmm. have the sequel. And then I think you have maybe a short story and a novella as well connected to the series. Is that everything?
Yes, that is everything. And then I'm working on another novella and book three now. And then there's a character, a sort of fan favorite character who I am slowly plotting through a series of like sort of short stories for her as well. So,
ooh, is that a secret or can we know what character?
No, it's Gran. It's called The Granthology.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I do have to credit my husband. He came up with the idea. I was like, well, that's perfect.
That is so funny because I was actually, I'm going to bring up Gran later on because she is one of my favorites. And like you said, it's a fan favorite across a bunch of different readers too. So I love that. All right. So how about you dive in a little bit about what this story is about? Like, where did the motivation come from? Tell us a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So I actually had been writing something very different, sort of like a high drama YA fantasy story. And then Sasha Black put out a call for submissions. She was doing an anthology called The Rebel Diaries. And it just, and she, basically the brief was, imagine if like the villain was the main character and like maybe the villain won and also creative swearing encouraged. Those are the two like things that stood out to me. I thought, well, that sounds fun. And it was at this point, it's 2020. I'm like, oh gosh, everything's weird. So I decided to write a short story. And when I finished this short story, I turned to my husband and I said, this is a series. And so I just kept writing. And actually the first the first book came out before the short story that was supposed to be the first couple of chapters of the book. So I ended up having to rewrite. It ended up getting into the anthology, which was great. But I ended up having to rewrite the beginning because I didn't have my original beginning. It was like a whole confusing mess. But I think now it's sort of settled. And if you join my newsletter, you get that initial like 0.5 how they met, and then it goes into the books.
All right. So this story follows two characters, and I mean, the title of the book, The Demon and the Hero. So we know those are the two characters, but there's a history in this world that actually connects heroes and demons in the past in the world of Windershins. So can you tell us a little bit about that history and what heroes and demons used to be like compared to now when the story actually takes place?
Yeah, sure. So once upon a time, there was the golden age of heroes in Widdershins, and the most famous of the heroes was Quill Valor. He was like the biggest, baddest hero. But because he was so successful and he had all these riches and fame and stuff like that, a lot of people also wanted to be heroes, and more people became heroes, and the market essentially becomes oversaturated with heroes. So Quill Valor is now not like the top dog anymore, and he's getting a little older, and maybe he's not as good at stuff anymore. So he decides, you know what? There are these things. I heard this rumor one time that at one point there were demons, like there was a world of demons, and I think I'm gonna try and summon a demon to help me. And like, I'll make a deal with a demon. He'll help me with my quest. And then I'll be very famous again. And ta-da. So that worked for a while. And then the other heroes, as this happens, right? They decided to start doing it too. So now there's all these humans and demons. And the deal with the demons, when you summon a demon, is they obviously aren't going to do anything for you for free. So you summon a demon. They help you. And then they get to do an equal amount of evil, essentially, in the world as payment. So if it's a really, really big quest, and maybe like rescue a princess from a dragon or something like that, they get to burn down a town. And the people of Widdershins, they started like the non-hero population, they got really tired of this. So they ended up figuring out a way to, number one, banish the demons, but also two, because they didn't really like this hero situation anymore, you now have to do just an absolute massive amount of paperwork to become a hero in the first place, which has really cut down on the hero stuff, because the people who are sort of hero types are not necessarily the paperwork types. So that's sort of where we're at. There hasn't been a demon in Widdershins for 500 years until the beginning of this book.
Yes. And then we dive into some adventures that is just so much fun. So before we dive into the characters, because we will talk about them in a little bit, I want to talk a little bit more about the world. So within this world, there is a map in book one. And then I snuck a look into book two, and the map has expanded. Mm-hmm. So the world that we created in book one, was that going to be the world the whole time? Or did you know it was going to expand? Or did it expand on itself once you wrote book two?
So I always knew it was there, but I didn't know what was there, which is why it's not in it's not in the first book. Also, I hired JL Vampa. She is an author friend of mine, and she's recently written a beautiful book. But she also is much better at the map software than I am. So I hired her to make me a better map, and she did a beautiful job.
Yeah, she did a really great job. The maps are amazing. So did you like hand sketch it and then give it to her and be like, this is what it's supposed to look like? And then she just did her magic, I'm assuming.
Yes. I really wish I had the sketched map for you, because it's terrible. Well, I'll have to send you a picture at some point.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the common thread from all authors who have maps. They're like, oh, you should have seen the first one. It was horrid. I'm like, that's okay. It became beautiful. It's fine. Another part of this world I want to talk about is the magic. So this is fantasy. There's going to be magic. I mean, we know there's demons and heroes and kingdoms, but there's also fairies and dwarfs and underground worlds and things like that. But the magic really comes into play right at the start, because we find out our two characters are basically cursed to always be together. If they go too far apart, they get zapped and they run into each other. And I love that that's right on the book blurb in the back of the book too. So where did this idea of forced proximity come from in the realm of this world with the demon and the hero?
So I actually came up with Reg first, even though this was supposed to be a story about Mal, who's like the demon. I actually came up with Reg first because I was walking around my neighborhood and I was remembering I had fallen off my bike at one point in the neighborhood, and my first instinct, like I was okay. I like had to get stitches and stuff like that, but it was mostly okay. But my first instinct was actually to throw up. That was just like the first thing my adrenaline like made me do. And so when I thought about that, I was like, oh gosh, I'd make such a terrible hero. I was like, oh, that's interesting. What would be the worst possible person to set alongside a hero like that? And I was like, oh yeah, this snarky, like self-absorbed demon would be like a really good pairing there, right? So that was like the sort of start of it. So I thought, okay, what would be worse than pairing them together on a short quest would be if they absolutely could not escape one another. I read this book many years ago. It's called Story Trumps Structure. And even though I am generally like, I like an outline to write, I do appreciate the advice in the book that like, just keep making it worse for them. And that was the driving force through every adventure they went on and also the connection.
Awesome. Oh, I loved that. I love that they just couldn't get away from each other. And there is a few scenes that it makes it really hilarious. The humor in this book and the situations they get into because of this magic is just, it's great. Everybody should pick up this book just for that. Oh, all right. So let's dive a little bit more into these characters. I mean, Reg and Mal are our main characters. And I really like them. I like their banter. I love their hatred for one another, but also the fact that they're stuck together throughout the story. So, I mean, they might be your favorite characters, but if you had to pick a character out of the whole series, who would be your favorite character?
I do like them very much. And I like Mal a lot because I feel bad for the struggle that he is going through in being attached to this, like his absolute exact opposite in every way. Mm-hmm. It's really, he's on a rough journey, but I really do like Gran. Mm-hmm. So it's Reginald's like the hero, his grandmother plays a role throughout the books, and she's pretty sassy, and she's a mystery. Like things mm-hmm. keep coming up around Gran, and Reg is just like, I didn't know that. I didn't know she did that. Yeah. He just like clearly doesn't really know his Gran. So I like her a lot. And then there is a character in the second book named Chaz, I just really enjoy writing Chaz.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to meet him. I mean, I love our main two characters because they are the main characters and they meet so many different people and they're the main thread. So obviously I really gravitated towards them. But then Gran, she's popping up everywhere. I really, really enjoyed her. And in reading book one, I just felt like she had such a huge story that we didn't really know about. Obviously, Reg doesn't know about, like you mentioned. So are we going to see more of her throughout this series, or is that where you're going to write something else?
She's popping up all over the place. She features a bit in book two. She is briefly in the next novella in a strange way. And then she also plays a part in book three. So we can't get rid of Gran.
Can't get rid of her. I love it. And you kind of touched on it earlier when you talked about the anthology with Sasha Black, but having the main character be kind of the guy who's supposed to be the bad guy. Yeah. So our point of view is from the demon Mal. And so, I mean, you kind of told us why that was chosen because of the anthology, but I mean, most fantasy stories are told from the hero's perspective. So what was it that ultimately was like, I have to do this? And how was it? What was it like writing for him?
Yeah, so it's tough. I'm not good at evil, actually. I'm really not.
Oh.
it's not. I actually have one of Sasha's books about like writing villains, and mm-hmm. because I don't have like a really strong sense of what motivates it. Because in general, I would just love everyone to get along, a bit like Reg. I'm actually much more like Reg than I am like Mal. He was definitely a more interesting character. Like if I had tried mm-hmm. to write a book about Reg in book one, it would have been a very boring book. The change that he is going through at that point is he doesn't know it's happening to him, right? Mal knows that things are going opposite of how he would like them to go. But Reg doesn't really know. Reg is just like, it was a love for the ride. so it would have been very boring. But I thought it was really important to do it in first person because he was such like an unlikely hero, right? So I really wanted to see from his point of view, how is this all going?
Exactly. And I loved being able to, yeah, learn what he's thinking and his thought process, especially as you go through the story and towards the end, I liked being able to know where his mind was at throughout the story. So I think that was great that it was from his perspective. And this is definitely a fantasy book. There's not like hot and spicy kind of stuff happening on every single page, anything like that. So who in general would this book be for? Who should pick up this book?
Yeah, I usually call it like a cross between Good Omens and The Lord of the Rings, because it has that fantasy element, but it also has that sort of like back and forth snark, you know, it's like yeah. unlikely friends piece. So I would say fans of Terry Pratchett, or if you've ever read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if that is sort of the overall vibe that you like, where you like an adventure, but you also like a little silly, it's for those people.
And yeah, I know I was laughing throughout so many parts of this book, but what other emotions should readers expect? Will they cry? Will they smile? Get uncomfortable? Be challenged? What should they expect?
There are a few spots where they might feel a little uncomfortable. There is a scene that happens in the City of Seven, which is not a spoiler because it's called The Demon, the Hero, and the City of Seven. but there is a scene that happens that is very personal to me. And it's a tough one. It was a tough one to write. And I think people are surprised, having laughed so much through the first bit of the book, to get to that point. I mostly am trying to make people laugh. So you need grounding moments, but like, it's a laugh.
For sure. All right. So as writers, we're always readers first. So I'd like to know a little bit about your reading habits. So what is the genre that you pick up the most?
Yeah, it's fantasy. Yeah. it's definitely fantasy. When I was younger, it was more of like the adult fantasy. I was a huge, obviously, Lord of the Rings, but a huge Earthsea fan. I love Ursula Le Guin. Stephen R. Donaldson wrote the White Gold series. I can't think of what the guy's name is right now, but the White Gold Wielder. I read a lot of like the sort of epic fantasy stuff, but I find that the older I, and I've read some of the YA fantasy, Sarah J. Maas and all of that, but I find that the older I get, this is strange, but I gravitate more towards the middle grade stories. And I think it's because they read slightly more like fairy tales and less like epic adventures. And that is what I love. My background is in music. My degrees are in music. And so I love folk music in general, and I love folklore, and I like to sort of experience cultures through those sounds and those stories. And I feel like most of the middle grade literature has like a little more of that focus and a little less of the like, who's going to die today and who's going to get with which morally gray character. And, you know, I don't know. I just like the story.
Yeah. It's more of that feel-good fantasy vibe versus like the long and strenuous adventure type. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like them both, but.
Yeah. And I can feel that within your stories because, like I already mentioned, they're fast-paced, but they're also pretty small. And I liked that because then it was bite-sized. I really am. Those huge, meaty fantasy, epic fantasy books are so tough for me to start, because they're so daunting. And so when I picked up your books, I was like, yes, this is the perfect thing for me right now.
When I first wrote it, I was like, I wanted to keep them short. And I had this idea of like a beach read fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. So like something short, you could bring on a vacation, you could just finish it while you're there. It's not like a huge, you know, thing for your mind. My friend Amy, she calls it fantasy, which I've really enjoyed that.
I love that. Oh, I'm going to start using that now. All right. So what was the most recent book that you gave a 5-star? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, I read them like one right after the other. The Nevermore books by Jessica Townsend. I read the first one. I was like, oh, 5 stars. And I read the second one. I was like, oh, definitely 5 stars. And I read the third one, which I thought I was going to, it's about like a pandemic essentially. And I thought, oh, I'm going to hate this. 5 stars. I loved it.
Yay. Oh, that's so great to hear. All right. And then just to kind of get an idea of how much you read, do you remember how many books you read last year?
Last year, I read about 40 books. It's okay. I don't set reading goals because it is the one thing in my life that's like, it's not monetized. Nobody makes me do it, right? So just whatever I end up getting through, aside from things I've agreed to like blurb or arc or, you know, whatever, I just read what I read. This year, it's going to be more than that though, because I'm actually working on a nonfiction book as well. So there's like a lot of, you know, background research that I want to be doing for that.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's fun. So we know you're writing and working on book three in this series. How many are going to be in this series? Is it going to be stopped at three, or are you planning on like 15? What's the story there?
Yeah, so so it's three for this arc for them. And I do have actually another idea for what might be able to happen for them later. And then there's also in the novella, I introduce a possibility of a spinoff, which I would like to write. I think it would be fun and kind of episodic. So there would be less pressure for it to like have this big overarching arc. It would just be like, this is the thing that happens this time and this time and this time. And it would still be able to involve characters that people have met along the way. So that's what I'm thinking for right now. But I do have an idea for them, maybe.
Maybe. I love when different series have kind of spin-offs or like intertwining stories or characters. It's always fun to kind of see those little Easter eggs hidden throughout. How about anything not related to this series that you're working on?
Yeah. So I do still have like, I don't know, like 90,000 words of that original YA thing. I want to come back and just read through it and see if it's got legs. But the thing that I'm really working on is the general premise is that there is an island somewhere between Iceland and the Faroe Islands. And on that island, there is something called Star Iron. And that is where magic actually sort of evolved on our planet. And it has to do with the people who are there, who are the sort of caretakers, the different, you know, like the folk who are there. And like pulling in some folklore and things like that. And so that's, I am itching to do it, but I really want to get book three out.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta wait for that shiny object until this series is passed. Yep.
That's right.
Common thread here on the show for sure. All right. Well, this is Read It With Whiskey, and it wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So Amy, what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
So I am not, I will tell you, I'm not a huge whiskey drinker. However, a few years ago, my husband and I went to Ireland for a couple of days. And one of the things we got to do was tour the Jameson factory in Middleton. And we got to try a bunch of Jameson. And it was, I don't know if it was because of the sort of like misty Irish atmosphere and like, I don't know what it was, but Jameson is my thing now.
I love that. All right. Well, where can people find you and find your books and follow along with your author career?
Sure. So I'm on the most on Instagram at a.e.kincaid. That's my pen name. And on TikTok at aekstory. My website, if you are interested in that sort of 0.5, how a demon and a hero actually meet and get stuck together and go on a quest, that can be found at my website, which is aekk.com.
Awesome. Well, this has been so much fun. I am definitely diving into that novella and then book two, like very, very soon. I can't wait to finish out this series. And do you have a timeline for when book three is going to be out?
I am really hoping for a 2023 release. However, I pretty much burned myself out trying to get books one and two done in 6 months last year. So I believe I can do it. I do, but I don't want to fully commit quite yet.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes out for it. And I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. It's been quite a treat.
Thank you so much, Laura. Thanks for having me.
And
Amy is such a treat. I had such a good time talking with her. And as soon as we got done with the interview, I dove into book two. And as I record this, I just finished up book two, The Demon, the Hero, and the Secret of the Stones. And I also read the prequel short story that was in the Rebel Diaries. That's when the demon met the hero. Such a fun origin story. I loved kind of seeing the behind the scenes. And then what happened in that prequel kind of tied into some of the things that happened within book one and book two that give you a little bit more insight. So I definitely recommend going over to A.E. Kincaid's website. There is a link in the episode description. And when you're over there, you can subscribe to her newsletter and receive this prequel short story. So such a fun little treat. I loved these books and I'm so excited for book three. Amy, if you're listening to this, I'm on pins and needles. I need to know what happens. And the route that we are going is just super excited. So overall, such a fun series. And next time on Read It With Whiskey, we have a very exciting guest for you. We're going to be talking to Candace Cade. She is the author of Enhanced. This is the first book in the Hybrid series, and this is her debut novel. And you guys, this is really exciting because Enhanced is actually coming out the same day as this new episode on March 14th. So the day this episode releases is the day her book is releasing, so you don't want to miss out. Definitely tune in, learn about what the book is about, and then go ahead and order that book on release day. I can't wait to talk to her and talk to you in the next episode. I'll see you then. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I'm your host, Laura Gentinen, and I want to personally say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would love to get to know you. Hop on over to Instagram and follow us at Read It With Whiskey. Please chime in on this episode's post, share it on your social media and with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.